This is the story of the shepherds and the angels. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Hear these words. Now in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And we're talking about making room this Advent. Last week we talked about making room for a Savior, and we talked about John the Baptist and the prophecies, and we talked a lot about the manger scene, the nativity set, and what we look at as kind of our story in one box, the whole thing spread out there. Do you realize that in our manger scenes, I mean, we don't know how many shepherds there were. We don't know how many magi there were, but usually we have three of each. So we have these six people who are witnesses to the birth of Jesus, or that night anyway. And that's interesting. In the whole world, we have six people who are witnesses. And what a strange group of people. Why them? You know, why didn't they have three musicians or three writers who could write it down or three rabbis? That would make sense. Instead, we have shepherds and magi. So I want to take a poll. You online can write down your answer. You're going to pick whether you would rather be a shepherd or a magi. All right? And we're going to raise your hand. Okay, ready? All shepherds, raise your hand. All right, magi, raise your hand. I am not going to do a count, but it was pretty close. So that's good. We've got some shepherds and some magi. We're going to talk about the magi next week and talk about making room for them. But today we're going to talk about the shepherds. And here's what I want you to think about. Why? Why did the angels come and talk to the shepherds? You have any ideas about that? Turn to somebody next to you and just share why you think the angels came to the shepherds. Why the shepherds? Just take a couple minutes. All right, what are some ideas? Why pick the shepherds?
They were outcasts.
They were outcasts. What'd you say?
Low class.
Low class. Metaphor.
They might not have heard if the news had gone to the establishment.
Maybe they would have never heard if it had gone to the uppity ups instead. Yeah, okay.
They were the only ones up.
They were the only ones up. They were outside.
They would actually listen.
They would actually listen. These are good. I came up with three main reasons, and all of you said them, basically. Well, two of them. The first one I said was that they were outside. They worked nights. There weren't a lot of people working nights, so they were there when the... Matthew's like, I got it. So they were there. They were present. You know, they were available. Everybody else was asleep. Second, they were average working class people. You know, they were salt of the earth people doing hard living work. And it's kind of cool to think about, especially when you compare them to the Magi, you know, these everyday kinds of hardworking people representing humanity there at the manger. That's pretty cool. Here's a third reason that I've been thinking about, and it's what we're going to talk about today. I realized that they worked with a vulnerable population. Their job was to work for a vulnerable population, the sheep. The sheep needed watching because they were vulnerable. They couldn't take care of themselves. You know, the shepherds would make sure sheep didn't get on rocky terrain. They made sure to care for them during harsh weather, you know, harsh weather. And then, of course, protect them from scary predators. Maybe that's why they were invited to the manger, because they cared for the vulnerable. That's what they did. I think that's a high calling, actually. You know, maybe the highest calling to do that. Jesus had definitely a connection with the vulnerable. You know, he was born a fragile baby. You know, maybe God could have just gone zap and like sent down a full-grown man, I'm here, let's save the world. No, a fragile baby that needed care and safety that his parents provided. I think that's amazing to think about, Mary and Joseph having that awesome task. And then Jesus grew up, and that's all he did was care for vulnerable people. You know, the lepers, the poor, sick people, people outcast in society, he deliberately invested his time and energy caring for the vulnerable. So who are some vulnerable people that you care for? Raise your hand if you're a parent. You get a gold star because you are caring for vulnerable people, for children that can't care for themselves. How about teachers? Any teachers here? Yes, absolutely. That's what you do every day. How about social workers? Any social worker types? All right, you get to parade in front of the whole group. All right, social workers that care with vulnerable. These are all heroes. You're all heroes in my book. You're all dedicated to caring for people who can't take care of themselves, or people who can take care of themselves but are still threatened in this world, and they deserve our advocacy and support in this world. That's taking care of the vulnerable also. So maybe the idea is that we should make room for the inner shepherd inside each of us, caring for the vulnerable. Now, I've had time to think about this. Maybe you haven't, but I've been pondering this and asking myself, do I do this? And I had to really think about it. If I do that shepherding, care for the vulnerable thing, do I do enough? Should I do more? So I've been adding it up. I do pastoral care sometimes, so I'm there when somebody's grieving to comfort them. I worked with youth for a long time, so that maybe. I worked with college students for a long time. They had their own vulnerabilities. And, you know, I've been on some mission trips. It's good. I feel good about those. But what am I doing now? What else should I be doing? What else is there? I thought about it 2 weeks ago. I was doom scrolling Facebook, and here comes a picture of a little kid that looked like his face was just caved in with birth defects. And it said, can you support surgery for this kid? And I reached for my wallet immediately and just donated $40. I was like, I can't scroll by this. Okay, well, that was helping somebody who was vulnerable. Is that enough? When I weigh it all out, is that enough? So there's a guy named Gustavo Gutierrez. He is the founder of a certain kind of theology called liberation theology. He lives in Peru. And liberation theology kind of has this vision to it. It's called the preferential option for the poor. Have you ever heard of that? The preferential option for the poor. And the idea is, if you want to find God and see where God is at work in the world, go to where the poorest people are, because that's where God would be focusing God's energy. I mean, that's a real thought. You know, if you want to find evidence of God at work and know what God is doing, go to the folks who are most vulnerable. That's what God would be doing. Do I spend enough time caring for vulnerable people? I don't know. I'm looking for examples of ways to do that. We have Center of Grace. That is fantastic. That is a whole mission center designed for helping vulnerable people with all of their programs and their food and medical and Boys and Girls Clubs, all that. And we are all invited to volunteer there. That's fantastic. We do work, the youth do a lot of work in the Argentine district. You know, there's a lot to be done there with folks who are underrepresented or not cared for in the same way. So those are a couple local things. And we have mission trips to Tochi and stuff like that. Those are options. I got another example for you. It's this Project 1020 that we've been talking about. I want to show you a quick video from the two people that founded it. These are not immensely qualified people. They just decided to do this. Let's watch. So this is Project 1020. Oh, there we go.
When Barb and I started out, we knew almost nothing about homeless people. All we knew is that it got cold in Olathe, and there were some people that didn't have anywhere to go. There's a lot of organizations that are helping the homeless, but there still is a shortage of facilities for adult homeless in Johnson County. And we're just meeting part of the need.
We were just trying to decide what we could do, what needed to be done, and we actually started out walking around in the woods, looking for camps and signs of, you know, where we thought maybe people that were experiencing homelessness might be staying. So then we started looking for a location. We decided maybe we could find a church or somebody that would give us the space to start up this little grassroots shelter. We've been in churches the last 3 years, and if the weather was forecast to be 20 degrees or colder, I have a van, I go around, pick people up and bring them to the church and spend the night there.
I think there's tremendous potential that if more people and agencies become aware of the scope of the problem, we can make a lot of headway. Some of them we can get plugged into things that'll help them out of their homeless situation. There's others that probably the most we can do is provide them with a safe, warm place and plenty to eat.
For me, I love these people, and it's, you can ask my family, it takes a lot, but it's something that if we could all work together, we could really do some good and help a lot of people. And most people just want to know that they matter to somebody.
And there are people that feel like they don't deserve help. They created their own situation. Other people feel like they deserve help, but some of them we can help and some of them we can't. What I like to think is that they all deserve our help. Some of them we understand and some of them we don't.
I want this to be a really good thing. I want it to be a good thing for the community, for Johnson County, but most importantly for all those people that at whatever point in their life are possibly experiencing homelessness.
It's heartening to see how much compassion, kindness, and concern there is among that population. They help each other, they work together, they help us, they're generous. And that's really been heartening to see all the humanity there is in people, even the people that have traveled a really bumpy road.
It's really cool and something we can help support this year. So that's good. Those are all examples of doing mission to help vulnerable people, you know, helping meet their immediate needs. Helping vulnerable people also can move into areas of justice. And justice is changing the system, working at the root causes of things. When I think about that, I think about my stepmom, Linda Bales Todd. She started out as a social worker. She worked with young people. She got involved in our denomination. Eventually, she became one of the heads of the Global AIDS Project. And she went to Africa and India, and she spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., lobbying the government for funding and care for people with AIDS. That just blows my mind that she can do all that. But maybe there's a small way that I can work for justice. You know one thing that we do at this church that's a justice thing? It's a sign out front of our building that says all are welcome. That's a sign of support to a whole community of people, LGBTQ plus people, who are sent to the margins and not cared for and forgotten about and threatened. They can care for themselves, but we can work for them in their vulnerability in our society by standing up for them. So that's a good thing. I'm happy about that. Here's my suggestion. It's a suggestion for me, but I invite you to do it too. What if we pledge part of our Christmas spending and part of our Christmas time caring for the vulnerable, like the shepherds did? What if we made room to be like the shepherds? I want to give you a moment to think and talk about this and have the band come up. I want you to just turn with those around you and ask this. Who are some people you know who are shepherds that you can model after? And what are some things you can do this Christmas season to be like a shepherd? Spend a few minutes talking with each other. Put your answers online. Thanks.